Well, good afternoon slash evening. I'm not sure which one it is. I'm so glad you're here. Man, it just delights us for you guys to walk in and for you to get to celebrate Christmas with us. And so it's so good to see you this evening. Thanks for being here. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like almost every Christmas season that I bump into that there's always one hot Christmas item that everybody has to have. And so this week, I was watching the news, and at some point, it's really cold in Iowa, but some people were camping outside of Best Buy for a specific thing this Christmas season. Anybody guess what it is? Okay, I can't hear you. So it's the classic Nintendo system. Have you heard of this thing? All right, so how many of you, raise your hand if you grew up and you played a classic Nintendo system and you have battled Bowser in Super Mario World, right? So if you've played those games, you know why it's so popular. It's super popular because in the 80s, that's all we had. We didn't have phones and we didn't have all that, but we had Nintendo and it was good and everyone's trying to relive that moment. And so they're camping out in the cold, being dumb, trying to get it, right? And so it just reminds me of other things that happened in the 80s that were really popular over Christmas. And I would argue that there's probably no more popular Christmas item in all of the 80s than the Cabbage Patch dolls. Right? So the Cabbage Patch dolls, Cabbage Patch Kids, if you've never seen them, are awesome. They're these little cloth babies. And I got to tell you, I wanted one really bad. I really did. I'm not sure what happened. It's not like I played with dolls all the time, but when it was time, I really don't know exactly what year it was, but I was pretty young. One year, they were the hot item, and I was like a must-have situation. And so I went around and I begged my mom and dad, please give me a Cabbage Patch Kid. Please. And you got to know, this was before the days of the black market of the internet where if your parents couldn't find them in the store, you would just go to eBay or to Craigslist and go pick up one in a shady gas station, right? So before all those days, if they didn't go to the store and it was not on the shelf, you were out of luck and there was no hope for you. So this was a serious problem for me because I really, really wanted a Cabbage Patch Kid. And so it turns out we went to the big city of Lawton, Oklahoma to try to do some Christmas shopping. And it just so happened we looked around and there were no Cabbage Patches in the whole mall. And we just happened to be in Sears, and I feel so old saying that, but that's a different story. So we happened to be in Sears, and we walked in, and here comes like a pallet jack, and they pull it out, and right in the middle of the aisle, they have this huge stack of Cabbage Patch Kids. And so I was a really mature five or six year old or somewhere around in there. And so I went to pitch in a fit. And I was like, give me a Cabbage Patch doll. I locked eyes with one I wanted. And I was like, I want it. And I'm kind of hyperventilating. Mom and Dad, if you don't get it, I'm not going to get it. Please give me a Cabbage Patch Kids. And I literally fall in the floor throwing a fit because my parents were saying things that all parents say. Wait till Christmas, right? They're saying all these things. All I wanted was this Cabbage Patch because I thought my life would finally be fulfilled and I would be a person if I had a Cabbage Patch Kid. And so I throw a fit and I knew I'd blown it because I'm literally in the aisle throwing a fit on the ground. And in my house, if I did that kind of thing, that pretty much meant you weren't getting it. And so they picked me up and took me to the car and I thought my life was over because number one, all the Cabbage Patch, like people were literally reaching over like Good Friday trying to get them, right? And second, I knew that I had blown it and I had thrown a fit and like, I shouldn't have probably done that. And so my Christmas is over. My five-year-old life is in ruins. I'm crying. It's just a horrible day. And all of a sudden, so the Christmas season moves along. And then all of a sudden, my dad comes and they start bringing Christmas gifts out and putting them around the Christmas tree, taunting us because it wasn't Christmas yet. And so they come out and they're all wrapped and I spot this box that looks exactly like a Cabbage Patch doll box. And I thought, ooh, this is nice. But I went over and picked up the box and it was super heavy. And I was like, uh-oh. And I started shaking it and there was all this metal in it. And I was like, ah. I thought it was over. So we go through Christmas and we unwrap all of our presents. And my dad was like, that's not the best one. So wait for last for that one. And he convinced me of that. And so I tear into this box and guess what it was? It was a Cabbage Patch Kid. My dad, in his trickster nature, had put a weight inside of it so it was heavy and put coins so that when I shook it, it would rattle. So it threw me off the trail. So I was totally surprised and I got my Cabbage Patch Kids and all things were right in the world, right? And so here's what happened. I finally got it, and here's what, we got the thing, and if you ever had a Cabbage Patch Kids, you know you sent off for the birth certificate, and I sent off in my doll's name. Guess what my doll's name was? Troy. But I knew I was pretty young because I couldn't say Troy. I kept saying Toy because I couldn't do the T and the R together. So I finally got it. And this thing is so famous in my family. My mom still has it in her house. In fact, she took a picture this week. Notice I didn't get a girly Cabbage Patch Kid. Mine's a baller, right? I mean, he's a basketball player. I think there was a basketball in the box. But that is Troy, the basketball Cabbage Patch Kid. And that was a super fun thing. But here's the thing. I don't know. We've all done that over Christmas. We've all had one of those moments where we really wanted it. And maybe you weren't five and a really immature fit thrower about it. But there's something that you've wanted. And that happens to us because at Christmas, there's so many marketing things. There's so many things happening. We're like, this sale, the Good Friday sale, then the Cyber Monday sale, and everyone in your family says, what do you want for Christmas? And so we start dreaming, and we just want, and we always come up with something that we truly desire, and we seek after, and we want it. And so I want to kind of turn the picture this morning, or this evening, or this afternoon, I'm not sure. I'm sorry, I keep saying this morning, because that's what I'm programmed to do. I want to turn the picture to a couple of characters in the Christmas story in the book of Matthew that they truly had a desire and they were seeking something out. So will you flip with me to Matthew chapter 2? Maybe you've got your phone or you brought your Bible, but this is Matthew chapter 2. And this is what it says. The characters we're going to be looking at are the wise men. It says in verse 1 in chapter 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Here are these three wise men. And here's the thing, we're so used to telling the story, we're so used to looking in the nativity and we see these three guys on camels and they have some gifts. So we just go, oh yeah, the wise men. But here's the reality, these wise men were from far off country and they were looking and they had heard that Jesus, the king of the Jews had been born and they set out on a serious journey to come find him. This wasn't like a little journey of, hey, Siri, give me directions to Jerusalem. We're talking about packing camels and for months and years going out to seek the king of the Jews. And it just seems like some characters until I put myself in that position. My wife is unbelievably supportive, but if I came to her and said, hey, I heard that there's a king born and I'm going to take a journey and I think that there's a star shining and that's where I'm headed. I'll see you in a year or two. I don't know how supportive she would be, right? Like this guy, these guys are seeking the king of the Jews. They think that there's something to behold here and they leave it all and they go and they seek. They seek really hard because they wanted to know this king. And then, here's the thing, their journey took them to Jerusalem because they didn't know everything about the king of Jews. And so they're like, we need to figure out some more. So they go to Jerusalem and they go to King Herod and they're like, hey, King Herod, we think that there's this guy named Jesus or we think that there's a king of the Jews being born and we've been following the stars. Can you tell us any more? And at that point, read what in chapter 4 or verse 4 what happens. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he, referring to King Herod, inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophets. And in verse 6, it's quoting Micah from the Old Testament. Hundreds of years, he was in the 600s BCs, this prophecy was given. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And here's what happened. They were seeking out this Jesus. They had made a pretty heavy cost in their life to go find this Jesus. But do you know what they did? They stopped and they let the scriptures actually define for them where they could find this king. They could have just kept following the stars. They could have kept just, you know, here's the star. Maybe it changed on the horizon. We'll just keep going and we'll figure it out. But what they did is they went to the place that had the scriptures and they started asking the questions. What do the scriptures say about this king? And they let the scriptures show them where they should seek. They didn't just seek him on his own terms, but they let the scripture guide them. And then guess what happens in verse 10? Check it out. When they saw the star, they rejoiced, because it kind of come over Bethlehem again. And they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they found this Jesus, look at this progression. I love it. They rejoiced. That's the reason we just sang this song. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel, God with us, is here. And they find the star where it's at, and they begin to rejoice. But then when they find the house where Mary is at, when they walk into the room, do you know what they do? They fall on their knees and they worship him. How crazy is this? These are men who have traveled months, maybe even years. They are very educated. They knew about the skies, and they knew when there was this random star that popped up. They knew something was going on. They're very educated, and they walk into a room in a foreign land, and a baby is born, and what do? They fall on their knees, and they worshiped him. And then not only did they do that, they pulled all their treasure. They pulled it out of their bags, and they laid it before him. And here's the thing. God calls us to do the same thing, right? He calls us to do the same thing. Because here's what the wise men did. What they did is they seek Jesus. They sought after him. And number two, they didn't just seek him and find it out in their own way. They actually let the scriptures point their direction and point the way that they should seek Jesus. And then third, when they found him, they absolutely worshiped him. And so the same calling over Christmas is for us, guys. It's the exact same calling that we're to seek Jesus. And so I'm very proud of you. You came on a Christmas Eve. You could have been at home with your family. You could have been in your PJs. That sounds awesome, right? But you came and you seek. And Jesus is asking us to do the same thing, that we would seek him. And not just on Christmas Eve and not just on Christmas morning, but that our life would be a posture of seeking King Jesus, that we would be seeking after him and trying to find him. And then secondly, just like the wise men, that we wouldn't just do it on the way that we want to do it. Because there's a lot of things that I would do differently if I was writing the Bible. But what God calls us to do is to seek Jesus in the way that the Bible teaches us to seek him. To not just make our own way and go, well, this seems pretty good and that's pretty good, but we're to follow just like the wise men who were pretty wise in their own day. They're called wise men, hello. But he says, hey, why don't you humble yourself and let the scripture point you to me? And then when we find him, man, there's times where we need to actually physically get on our knees and bow down to the king. But also just metaphorically, the posture of our heart and life is to bow down to King Jesus and give him honor and to give him glory. We're supposed to be just like the wise men. And guys, we know how to do this really well. This is actually pretty easy for us to do. These three things, to seek after it, to let the scripture guide us, and then also to worship. We're really good at that. Back to my Cabbage Patch Kid. What did I do? I sought after that Cabbage Patch Kid. I truly did. Me and my buddies at church, I remember there were two buddies at church. We talked about these Cabbage Patch Kids all the time. Don't judge me. We sought after them. I remember looking in the magazines. Remember when we had magazines and catalogs? I remember looking in that and wanting a Cabbage Patch Kid. And I saw every bit of information that I could find. And I was like, oh, this Cabbage Patch, he's this. Oh, there's a preemie Cabbage Patch. Oh, there's a regular. And reading all about them and finding my way about them. And then when I got them, I was elated. And you're the same way, guys. And it might not be a Cabbage Patch Kid. And it might not be the newest Apple product. It might be material for you. It might be relational for you. And it might not be relational. It might be something about your career. But we're really good at seeking what we want. We just like, I want it. I'm going to go get it. And we do everything we can to go get it. And then we're pretty smart. So we go to Google and we're like, how do I get it? This is how I should get it. What's the product rating for that? Is this the best thing that I should get? And we seek all this outside information. And then we lay down our treasure, whether it's our time or our pride or even our money, and we lay down our treasures to worship those things. We're really good at that. And the call for Christmas this year is to act just like the wise men and that we would do that process for King Jesus and not for our own selves. That we would seek Jesus. And it might make some of you in this room very uncomfortable to seek Jesus because you got drugged here by your mother-in-law or your brother or your sister. But the call of Christmas to this Jesus Christ, King of the universe, is to seek him. And then I don't know how culturally you've interacted with Jesus. And maybe Jesus and Christians are a really negative thing in your mind. You know what my challenge would be for you? Why don't you seek the scriptures and find out who the true Jesus is? Because I think you'd be surprised that not only is he Savior and Lord, but that he is an unbelievable teacher and guide in our lives. And then third, that we would worship him, not just tonight, not just tomorrow, but with our very lives, we would be rejoicing in him. And guys, let's be honest. Christmas can be a really hard time to rejoice. Because depending on what your year was like, maybe it was really horrible and your family blew up or a relationship blew up, or maybe every time Christmas happens, it reminds you of the disappointments in your life because it's supposed to be so joyful. And that's okay if the circumstances in your life are bad, because why we would rejoice is not because circumstances are great, but because we have King Jesus to rule over it all and that he saves us from the midst of all the chaos of this world. So the call for you is to seek Jesus. Let the scriptures guide you as you seek him. And as you find him, bow your knee and worship him. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we're so thankful that you came to earth, that you walked on this earth. And God, you could have come like a royal prince in the most largest fanfare, but you humbly came. And your coming is the incarnation, that you became man, and that you needed to do that because one day you would walk to the cross and take all the sins of the world on top of you, and it would absolutely crush you and kill you. But 3 days later, your power showed that you overcame all of those sins and you live again, and you offer that life to us. And it's all available because you showed up humbly in a manger. And so this afternoon, God, would you open our hearts to seek Jesus, to let the scriptures guide us to who you really are, and to bow our knees in worship. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.